Test 1, 2. When you stop and think about Christ, what comes to mind? As you consider his life and his ministry and all the things about him, what do you think of? Maybe it's his miracles. He did so many of them for so many people. And it's amazing to see how his ministry was filled with miracles. Maybe it's his teaching, the way that he taught. Even the scribes and the Pharisees thought he taught as one having authority. And so his teaching certainly can captivate us. And if we talk about authority, his ability to do things like command the demons to come out and to make Peter be able to walk upon the water, all of those kinds of things just speak to a level of authority that no human being has ever had. And it was shocking and amazing to see. Maybe you think about his transfiguration, that moment in time when he was glorified and some of his disciples were able to see that, and certainly a point in his ministry that was remarkable in its demonstration of his power and his deity. Maybe it's the intimacy of the Last Supper, or the Lord's Supper as we sometimes know it to be called, where he spent that time with his disciples, knowing full well, even as they did not know, exactly what was ahead. Over and over and over again, there are so many different things in Jesus' ministry that just are remarkable and worthy of study and appreciation. But underlining all of those things is an attitude that God calls us to have because we're Christians and because it was the attitude that Christ had. And I want to talk to you this morning about that. That attitude is the attitude of service, a servant's heart. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, I want to thank you and praise you. Lord, I give you the glory now for this time we have together. God, I pray that you would be just glorified and exalted by the preaching of your word, and that, Lord, that we would be challenged by the preaching of your word. I thank you and praise you, dear God, in Christ's name. Amen. You know, there are a few things, few attributes, few character traits that I think are more contradictory to our natural condition, to our fleshly condition, than the act of service, being a servant to others. Especially when you talk about being a servant to others regardless of how they behave. That's just beyond reasonable expectation unless we step into the pages of history and scripture and see how Christ did it. There are a lot of things that we do that bring us pleasure, happiness, gratification, a lot of things, even recognition. And yet, to be a servant is not one of the things that we think of as being a noble or a worthy pursuit. And yet that is what Christ calls us to, primarily because he was a servant. In Mark chapter 10, verse 35, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, referring to Jesus, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. So James and John, they come to him and they say, Jesus, we have something we want to ask of you. And Jesus said to them, what would ye that I should do for you? In verse 36. And they go on to ask that in the kingdom, when Christ is in his glory, that James and John would sit at his right and his left hand. Positions of distinction and honor. And they were asking that in the presence of the 10 other disciples, which of course caused a bit of a stir. Look down at verse 41 of Mark chapter 10. It says, and when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Now, it's important that we understand that they were displeased because James and John were asking for positions of recognition, to be put in a first place position. And they were bothered by that because they couldn't be in the first place position if somebody else already was. So interestingly enough, They had the same attitude that James and John did. James and John were just the first to express it. And Jesus goes on then in verse 42, and he says, but Jesus called them unto him. He says, all of you come around. He gets all 12 together. They're getting upset. The 10 are upset at the 2. He says, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. So they have this hierarchy of authority he's talking about in the Gentile world. And they did. The Roman Empire had all kinds of different levels of authority. And they exercised authority over each other and all the way down. Verse 43 says, but so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And that word minister means servant. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest, the highest, shall be servant or bondslave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered or to be served, but to minister or serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, Jesus sets them straight. He says, I want to turn this whole scale upside down. The key to heavenly greatness, the key to godly virtue is not in power and control, but in service. And the greater your desire to be effective and influential among people is to be more inclined to serve, not less. And that goes in direct contradiction to our natural appetites. In John chapter 13, verses 4 and 5, and then picking up in verse 12, turn there with me, please. John 13, 4 and 5. Of course, this is Jesus at the Last Supper. And it says in verse 4, it says, he raiseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherein he was girded. So Jesus gets up and he takes a towel and he assumes the role of a servant. For a person in that time in history, their feet were literally filthy. They walked everywhere in sandals. The dust and the grime of the road and the areas where they walked was always on their feet. And to wash someone else's feet was always the job for the servant. It was a low job. And Jesus got up and he did that. And he goes on then in verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? He wasn't asking if they knew he washed their feet. He wanted to know if they knew why he washed their feet. And verse 13 says, and ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. You see, Jesus says, I am master, I am Lord. And yet, if I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. You see, Jesus says, I am the Son of God, the Lord of glory, the creator of the universe. And if I can with a good heart and a good attitude, a servant's heart, wash your feet, you should adopt that same sense of servanthood. If you want to be like me, you've got to serve. And for us today as Christians, we have to grab a hold of this. The world doesn't really honor service. The world tends to honor power and control, prestige and influence. That's what it looks for. Those are the things that get you noticed. Accomplishment and notoriety. And yet God says the best way to have an impact on others is to serve. To serve. And we are called to be like Christ, and that includes this thing called service. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, Paul writes, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Praise God, we have this amazing liberty in our in salvation. This ability to exercise our faith in ways that don't have the same constraints that the law provided. We have all this opportunity. We're not bound by people we can't talk to and can talk to, things we can't eat and can't eat, days we have to observe and don't have to observe. We have amazing liberty. But Paul goes on to say, only use not this liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't use it to your own advantage. Don't use it to serve yourself. But by love, that's the motivation. Serve one another. And that word serve means serve as a slave. Now, a slave has all ownership rights surrendered to another. So, In fact, what Paul is saying is when you go to serve someone, have no ulterior motive. Have no desire to get. Just simply realize that you're surrendering to the service of someone else. He goes on, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the connection between love and service is inseparable. If we are motivated by the love of Christ, then service is easy. If we're motivated by the love of self, then service is hard. And so we can each one ask ourselves, do I find it hard or difficult to serve, especially people that I may not be inclined to serve? If we find it difficult, then we're talking about the flesh. And it's not driven by love. But love and service go hand in hand. The Bible says they will know we are Christians by our love one for another. And that love should include service toward each other. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 and 20 through 24, it says, servants or slaves, obey in all things. He's really talking about slaves. We don't have slaves today. I mean, the closest parallel would be being an employee of an employer. And even though we're being compensated, we all know that there are degrees to which we can invest in that effort. And we can give minimum effort or we can give maximum effort. And God addresses that through the Apostle Paul here in Colossians chapter 3. He says, servants or slaves, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, those that are in this everyday world, not with eye service as men pleasers. Don't fake it. Don't just work hard when they're around. But in singleness of heart, simplicity of heart, focus of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord. And not unto men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. This is a really important point for us to grab a hold of as Christians. When we serve someone else, we're actually serving Christ. Jesus talked about when you do this to the least of these, you do it unto me. For you and I as Christians, service is an opportunity to serve Christ himself. And that's what elevates service to such a high level, in contradiction to the world's perspective. We are called to serve Christ, but he's obviously not physically here. But those he loves, those he died for, those he cares about are. And we can serve him by serving others. So regardless of the circumstance or the difficulty or the unsavory nature of the task, if we do it as unto the Lord, it has redeeming qualities. It's a beautiful thing. And the reason why we do it as unto the Lord is because we're not our own. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, Paul says, what? He's almost shocked. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Wow, if we could grab a hold of that. We are not our own. How often do we usurp ownership illegitimately? We are not our own. We serve the Lord Christ. He goes on, for ye were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Whether with our hands or with our hearts, we're to glorify God because we belong to him. And service is a magnificent way to do that. Ephesians 2 reminds us in verses 8 through 10 that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God saved us. And it should be the natural default position of the saved person to want to serve. Not just those who can serve us back. As a matter of fact, the Bible doesn't even call that legitimate service in many ways. It says, what is it if you give to those who can give back to you? It's when you give to those who can't give back to you. When you serve those that can't serve you back. When you are generous to those who can't be generous back. Real service has a beauty and a simplicity that literally warms the heart when we do it. And we know it when we do it. It feels good. It feels right. So we are saved to serve. Our service, whether it's paid or voluntary, or even if it is compulsion, someone's making us do it, it's all to be done as unto the Lord. And you know what? When you think about it, if all is done unto the Lord, then it doesn't matter if I'm working for pay or working as a volunteer or being forced to work. Because when you work for the Lord, you have a wonderful master. So there is a rich sweetness in unfeigned service, and there is a joy and a real sense of just God's presence when we serve as He calls us to serve. But we can ruin that. If our motives are wrong, then the service won't accomplish in our lives or the lives of those maybe that we're serving the same thing that it could. And I want to just look at three simple things that can really taint or stain good service, godly service. The first of those is serving for recognition. A slave during the time of Christ, a Roman slave, was supposed to be almost invisible. Literally, they did the things they did as though they were part of the background. Not with notoriety, not with fanfare, not with volume, not with noise. Literally, slide in, slide out. Do it, and maybe even no one would notice. And that was the way it was supposed to be. When we seek to serve for recognition, it cannot help but change how we serve. The scribes were really good at serving in their capacity as religious leaders, but for many, it was all about the recognition and the prestige. Luke chapter 20, verses 46 and 47 says, "Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers. The same shall receive greater damnation." You see, they loved the notoriety. They loved to be seen as these high servants of God. And they would actually wear things that would demonstrate that. And that's not different than today. There are people who do things. It's possible for all of us to do things so that we will be noticed. And when we do that, we really end up spoiling our service. Proverbs 25:27 is an interesting proverb. It says, "It is not good to eat much honey." Eat too much honey, you get sick. "So for men to search their own glory is not glory." When we look for our own glory, our own praise, our own recognition, when we look to be the author and the initiator of that, it's not there. It's like cheating at solitaire. It robs us of the power of the service. It robs us of any reward for the service. And then most importantly, it destroys what we're supposed to be displaying by service. And that's Christ Jesus Himself. Colossians chapter 1, 16 through 18 talks about the fact that Christ is to be preeminent in all things. That in all things that we do, He should be the thing that people see. He should be the supernova. He should be the image that they see. He should be the heart that they feel. He should be the attitude that they sense. He should be the love that they pick up on. That word preeminence is the word that we get our word prototype from. The first. The original. You see, when we serve as Christ calls us to serve, people don't see us. They see Christ in us. And that's a beautiful thing. For Christ can save. You and I can't. Another thing that can ruin service is when we serve to gain power or control or advantage. It is possible to accept a position of service with the understanding that once you have it, you have control over that dimension of ministry or activity or body of people. In Mark chapter Matthew chapter 23, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." You see, Jesus is giving this woe upon the scribes and the Pharisees because they use their position of servant to be in control, to take advantage. That was never the intention of God's demonstration of service to His Son. We don't serve to get in a position of control or advantage. We don't volunteer for a ministry so that we can run the ministry. We don't volunteer to help someone so that we can be in charge, get something out of it, take some advantage. You know, I'm reminded of Gehazi, Naaman's servant, back in 2 Kings chapter 5. I mean, Elisha's servant. And Elisha refuses anything that Naaman offers to him. He says, "No, I'm not going to take anything from you." But Gehazi, who is the servant of the servant, Elisha is the servant of God, and Gehazi is the servant of the servant of God. And in spite of all that, after Elijah has refused it, Gehazi runs after Naaman, and he says, "Oh, by the way, my master changed his mind. And he wants some things." And so Naaman gives him silver, or gives him silver and gold, and he takes him clothing and all these other things. And he has people even carry him for him. You see, Gehazi used his position as servant to take advantage, to exploit the goodwill that being a servant often represents. It's possible to volunteer for something and then begin to develop a sense of entitlement because we volunteered. And when we have an attitude of entitlement, we think we deserve something, that we are owed something, that there is an advantage we should have, that's clear indication that we're not serving from the heart of Christ. So it's important that we don't take advantage. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, I shared this earlier, but we are called to use our liberty not as an occasion to the flesh. And it goes on to say, "For in the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself, and we are by love to serve one another." Our liberty, our freedom in Christ gives us the freedom and the liberty to serve. And what a privilege that is. There is a blessedness in pure, unfeigned service that nothing else can give. But we need to make sure that we're not serving so that we can have advantage or control or power. The third way that we can ruin our service is by having a bad attitude. We can literally just serve but be grumbling about it or complaining about it or irritated by it. That's not the kind of service God's talking about. In Jonah chapter 3, verses 10, Jonah 3, 10 verses through 4, 1 through 3, we see that Jonah is called to go and to preach. And it says there in verse chapter 4 and verse 1 of Jonah, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness and repentest thee of all of the evil." He says, "God, I know you're a good God and a loving God and a blessing and a kind God. And God, I want all the benefit of that, but I knew that you were going to give that same benefit to the Ninevites. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." He says, "I am miserable in this service. I did what you said, but I knew it was going to be bad." And we can approach service that way. And when we do, we completely spoil it like rotten fruit. All goodness, all the blessing, all the blessedness of it, the beauty of service that we see in Christ Jesus is not found in service that's done begrudgingly. In 2 Corinthians 9, 7, it says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, For God loveth a cheerful giver. In our giving, we're to give, by the way, which is a way of giving service to God. We're supposed to do that not grudgingly, but cheerful. God calls us to these amazing things. And he reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom we be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. When you serve, when I serve, let's make sure that we don't allow ourselves to serve for recognition or to serve for power or control or advantage or to serve with a bad attitude, but truly to serve as Christ served. Gird up ourselves with a towel. Wash the feet of others in love. Amen. What was it? Mm-hmm.